listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. Giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
Let's greet each other. Greetings. Greets. Greets. Please be seated. Again, we'd like to invite you to take part in our life groups and get to know the church in a more intimate way. And there's also our Bible study. Spring Bible studies are coming up. And the study guides for those are going to be available in the lobby. Our men's is Adrian Rogers, When We Say Father. And then the ladies are the Gospel of John. It's a continuation of our fall study in same books. So if you got those books, we'll use those and want to encourage you to take part in that as well. And if you're our guest today, we'd like to invite you to tear this off of the Heart publication and fill it out, place it in the offering plate. So we can get to know you better. And as you know, we're at the end of the year, so year-end giving, you could finalize that. It need to be in the office or postmarked by the 31st. And at the end of our service, our chairman of our finance committee is going to present our budget for next year, and we'll vote on that as we conclude our service today. And so, again, there's a lot of thank yous to everybody for your celebration of the season this year. And then I still want to remind you about Lottie Moon Christmas offering for foreign missions. The Southern Baptist Convention supports 4,000 missionaries all over the world and the largest evangelical mission force in the world. And so I want to encourage you to pray about that as well as you think about your year end. God bless. Thank you, Darren. Thank you, praise team. We'd like to release our children now for Children's Church. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Pray with me, please, over our offering. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're so thankful to be gathered in this place at this time of year to hear your word spoken and sang. Father, we love you and praise you and ask that you bless this offering, bless the sermon that you laid on Pastor's heart, and fill this room with your Holy Spirit. We love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
So as you know, we're looking down the barrel of a new year. How many of you have made resolutions? How many of you have made resolutions before? How many of you have not fulfilled your resolutions before? Well, hopefully this time you will. You know, this time will be successful. Today I want to talk to you and share with you not really a sermon on resolutions, but actually a sermon on a disposition that you and I need to develop in wanting to bring the aroma and the presence of Christ everywhere we go this year, at your home, in your vehicle, in the public, when you're visiting family and friends, and when you're relating to each other as family members. We want to bring the presence of Christ and the sweet aroma of Christ into the mix this year. And so if you've got your Bible, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, and we'll see what the Apostle Paul has to say about this. But thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death, to the other, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? For we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. This is an interesting passage, and I've had the opportunity through the years to share the history on it a few times, several times. And when you look at it, it's fascinating in kind of the dichotomy of it. There's a paradox in it that he talks about a fragrance in verse 16, an aroma from death to death, or to another, an aroma from life to life, and who is adequate for these things. Now, it's interesting that that aroma is the same aroma. It's the same smell. It's the same fragrance. And to some, it's death, and to others, it's life. To some, it's condemnation, and to others, it's sanctification. And then it's judgment and mercy, and it's the same aroma. Now, the history for this relates to the Roman Empire. As you know, the entire New Testament was fitted into the setting of the Roman Empire in the fullness of time. We see that is the convergence of the Greek culture, the Roman Empire, and the Jewish Empire. And they came together at this point. And the entire New Testament is in that setting. And so as the writers wrote and as the readers of that day read the original manuscripts and the original messages or copies thereof, they understood all of these word pictures. They understood all of these analogies, and they had a clear concept of it. They had seen these things occur. Now, this particular one relates to the Roman Empire and their army. And when they had gone out, and as you know, they conquered the known world. It was one of the most dominant cultures in human history, the Roman Empire, and extended everywhere. A modern version of it might be the British Empire with the colonies all over the world. That's why most of the world speaks English now. Back then, it was why most of the world spoke Greek, because of the influence of this Roman Empire. So as their armies would go out, the legions, and they would capture cultures and dominate cultures and defeat cultures. And then a lot of times they would parade back the spoils of their victory. So here comes the Roman legion marching in. And as they marched into Rome, the people would line the streets. And these were their relatives in the army, their fathers, their brothers, their uncles, as they would come marching in. And they would throw rose petals and flower petals, fragrant flower petals over the army as they walked in victory. So every Roman soldier coming in, smelling this aroma, it smelled to them of victory. Here we are in the flower petals. Here we are in the victory again. But they would be bringing behind them kings, princes, commanders, and these sometimes would even be in flesh hooks, where they literally had these apparatus that were hung through their skin, hanging to either tying them together as shackles or to each other. And they were being brought in, an awful lot of them, to be executed. So when they're walking in, surrounded by the Roman legions, and the legions are walking in, they're saying, victory, victory, victory. And then all of these leaders from the other defeated cultures are walking in, and they're in excruciating pain, and they're saying, thinking to themselves, death, death, death. Judgment, judgment, judgment. We're about to be judged. We're about to be executed. Life is over at the exact same time. Now, this is an interesting thing for us when we think about our teaching on prophecy. I've had a number of you know that's a favorite area for me. I really love it because we're living in it and we're seeing the fulfillment of it. And as you know, I've had several series, especially since October 7th with the invasion of Israel. And we've gone through all that. Well, for us, it can be exciting. That's why some of you say, Pastor, when are you going to speak on the rapture again? When are you going to speak on the second coming, the tribulation period? You know, and for us, we're smelling the smell of victory. Our Savior's going to be returning. He's going to rapture us and then later come back and sit on the throne and rule the world, the inhabitable world. And for us, that's victory, 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 a sweet aroma, a great smell, an exciting topic. But think about for the lost who say, the atheist that says there is no God. Or you think about people of other religious backgrounds, the Hindu, the Buddhist, the Muslim, the Orthodox Jew. When they say, he's not our Savior, and we hope he's not coming, and we're just going to say we don't believe that he is. And for them, his return is the smell of death unto death, judgment unto judgment. Read the book of Revelation. And so in this passage, we see this idea of an aroma. And one of my favorite illustrations here was years ago when I was preaching a series on the cults. And it came to Mother's Day, and back then I was a younger pastor, and I didn't have the wisdom I have now, so I kept the cult messages going. And so for Mother's Day, I preached on Mariolatry, the worship of Mary of the Catholic, part of the Catholic denomination. And I preached on Mariolatry as a cultic teaching, which it is. Mary's not to be worshipped. She was a sinner saved by grace like us. She needed to have her son save her. And you remember at the miracle of the wedding of Cana, he said, woman, what do I have to do with you? That's not the way you talk to the co-redemptress, you know, another person of the deity, you know, something like that. So anyway, I preached on it. At the time, we had two young Catholic families, previous Catholic families in our church. And they had come and joined and gotten baptized by immersion, and they were here. And so we were there as I was preaching on this. After the service, both families came by me at the front door, and both families had their parents there, their Catholic, lifelong Catholic parents there. And so I'm in the lobby. And the first family comes through, and they're in a real hurry to get out. And the parents glare at me, leaving the lobby. And the young family comes up, Pastor, you know, this was the first time we ever got them into a non-Catholic, they said Protestant, we're not Protestants, but Protestant church, and you preach on Mary. You know, they're patently offended. We understand, we get it, and we support what you said, but, you know, it was a non-connection for them, you know. And so they went out offended. Well, then the other family hung around for a while, and then they came out, and the young family came up, and their parents came up, and they were all excited. And the young part, said, our parents were here today, and they gave their lives to Jesus. They were truly born again today. And both the parents looked at me grinning and said, that's right. And you know, we need to go on with Jesus and follow him. And thank you for sharing the truth with us in Scripture. Now, it was the same sermon at the same time. And to one family, it was patently offensive. And to the other family, it was an absolute blessing. And that's why I just want to tell you, there is this aspect of Christianity. Jesus said, I came to divide families. And I'll turn one against another. That'll happen. And you will be hated by people because of me. And so in this aroma of Christ, we see these two possible reactions, these two divergent destinations. Now, let's look at our passage together and parse through it. First of all, we see in verse 14, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. So we're to thank God for his triumphant leadership that he gives us in Christ Jesus, and how he wins the victory and has won the victory through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, and when you were dead in your transgressions, when we were dead in our sins, and the uncircumcision of our flesh, the way we were naturally born, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us. And he's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Jesus, through him. So here we see some interesting terminology. Talks about us being originally all born dead in our sins and trespasses, all born dead in the uncircumcision of our flesh, the way we're naturally born. And we see that he talks about this. And then we see that in the light of that, Jesus has forgiven us our transgressions, and he canceled out the certificate of debt against us. In other words, he gave us a pardon. He gave us a pardon from all of the legal law that lined up against us. There's no one here, no one under the sound of my voice, not me, not any of us, not Billy Graham, not Mother Teresa, not any of the exemplary known Christians that have ever lived that could have gotten out of the legal system we were under and the laws that condemned us and the certificate of debt against us. And so what this is saying is that the Lord Jesus Christ through the cross has pardoned us. He's forgiven all of these. I don't know if any of you've ever had a legal judgment against you in a lawsuit or anything like that, but it's got to be a heavy, heavy thing to think about it and to think, I've got this thing, this mark against me, against my character, against my life. And Jesus said, I'm going to come along and I'm going to pardon it. And we see that what he does by doing that is Jesus removes Satan's tools of lawfare. You know, in Scripture, it says that right now he still has access to heaven, back and forth, heaven and earth, and that he's the accuser of the brethren day and night before God. So 24/7, Satan's running back and forth, he and the fallen angels, and they're accusing us before God. Did you see what they said? Did you see what they thought? Did you see what they did? You know, and that they can't be a good Christian. You may have had these thoughts in your mind. How can I be a Christian? How can I be a good Christian? Well, that's the spirits themselves bringing the certificate of debt against you. That's the spirits themselves bringing lawfare against you to accuse you and to condemn you and to indict you. And so we see here that there's a beautiful aroma that occurs, and this aroma is based upon the victory that Jesus gave when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public display of them, having triumphed them over them. So we see this victory. Secondly, we're to manifest the sweet aroma of Christ everywhere. In Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 41, and as a soothing aroma, I shall accept you. When I bring you out from the peoples and gather you from the lands where you are scattered, and I shall prove myself holy among you in the sight of the nations. A soothing aroma, he shall accept us. And we see that he wants us to have this aroma. In Philippians 4, verse 18, but I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. God wants you and I to carry the aroma, the smell, the fragrance of Christ with us everywhere we go. Now, it's the Christmas season, and Kim got a vanilla candle for Christmas, someone gave her, and that's been on our stovetop, and we light it, and it fills the house with a fragrance of vanilla. Do you like the smell of vanilla? It's a good smell. Not that our house was smelly before that I knew of. I mean, I'm congested half the time, but, you know, I didn't think it needed a new smell. But when we got the vanilla, I'm loving it. I'm loving the vanilla. I'll go in the kitchen and get a big lungs full, you know. And God's like that with the fragrance of Christ. And he's like that with our gifts that we give him. He's like that with some of the things that we do, that it just fills his lungs with a pleasing aroma. So he wants us to bring the presence of Christ. Now, Kim and I have gotten away for a few days. We try now not to drive as far, so we went to Fort Pierce. And that's not really getting away, and at times I question our wisdom in that. I don't know, but it's nice. We're staying in one of the little motels or hotels or whatever on the water, and we're not on the water because the rooms were cheaper over the parking lot, but we're on the parking lot, and we can see the water out the corner of the balcony, so it's sort of like seeing water, but we're staying there, and it's known for a fishing dock. Surprise, surprise. And it's really known for that. In fact, I've got two stories I'll share during the sermon. Well, I'm fishing there a couple of days ago out on the dock, and there's about a half a dozen people out there. And there's this young, active senior woman, and she makes me think of actually one of our members here now. And she's fishing with couple of her relatives, and then an old friend that's been a friend for like 50, 60 years, 84-year-old man, tall, thin, kind of lean, silver hair. And so we're out there fishing, and I didn't witness to any of them. And we needed to leave. Kim came out to get me. We were going to go eat dinner two nights ago. So I'm leaving, but this senior, active senior woman, really like her. I was sure she's a believer without asking her. She's a boat captain's daughter, had 9 siblings. There was 10 of them, and they all mated for her dad. They were all mates on the boat. So the woman's an avid fisher woman. And they started at 9 in the morning, and when we got back from eating dinner, they were just leaving at 9 at night. So Kim said, we've met people that like fishing more than you do, more than me. But when we were leaving earlier, they were competing. You know, I got 2 fish. I got 3. So when I went by her, I put my hand on her shoulder. I said, Lord, please give my sister the biggest fish in their competition. So it's interesting. I just prayed that passing, and she said, I received that. Praise the Lord. And threw her line out. So the next morning, I'm at the breakfast in the lobby, and a decent breakfast, not the greatest, but protein and, you know, sausage. If it's got sausage, it's a good breakfast. And so I'm there, and it turns out I'm sitting there, and she comes in with the old friend. And the Lord had been speaking to me about witnessing. Now, when I was out there on the dock and I said, I'm going to pray for you to get the fish, I put the fragrance of Christ on the dock with that. Do you agree? I mean, they all heard me say it, and oh, he's a pastor. That came out, and he prayed for us. So I put the fragrance of Christ on the dock. So when they come in to eat breakfast, she sits at a table facing me. She said, Pastor, you're not going to believe it. I caught the biggest fish, a sheep's head. And then the other guy came in, and she told me his name's Harry. And Harry said, yeah, she caught the biggest, but I caught the most. And she said, nope, I caught the most also. So they kind of went back and forth teasing. So anyway, I still hadn't witnessed to them, and the dining area was full of people, and I was a little self-conscious, which is not always typical for me, about sharing with them in front of everybody. It felt like the Lord kind of, I don't know, cautioned me or something. So when I got up to leave, she got up to leave to go get coffee or something. And so I went ahead and said, have you given your life to Christ? She said, I love the Lord Jesus. I know him. And I have been working on my friend. And I said, what's his name? She said, Harry. I've been working on Harry for 50 years for Christ. I go, wow, that's awesome. And so then I had to go. So I went to the elevator, went up to our room upstairs. But the Lord just kept saying, I want you to talk to Harry, you know, but we're leaving. So I went out to the car, and we were going over to the West Coast for a day. And I was going to borrow a pillow from the motel, and I forgot to bring it down. And I said, Kim, I'm going to run back up and get the pillow real quick. So I run back up to the room. I'm in there for like a minute. And I come out. When I push the elevator door, guess who runs into me off the elevator? Harry. Harry. And then she followed him off. And I said, well, Harry, can I ask you a question real quick? Sure you can, Reverend, in your personal opinion. So I asked him the question. And he said, I don't really know the answer, you know. And she was beaming. I mean, just doing like this, you know. She was over out of his sight a little bit, and she was cheering me on. So I witnessed to Harry, and Harry prayed to receive Christ right there at the elevator. Amen. Do you think that was a coincidence? No. God was speaking to my heart, talk to them, talk to Harry, and I kept putting it off, and I guess in God's timing, it was so that I could catch him then, us privately in the hallway at the elevator. And she was just so excited, hugging him. I'm so proud of you. Praise the Lord, you know. And he prayed to receive Christ, okay? So God wants you and I to introduce the fragrance of Christ, and we will see results. So let's look on down in the next. So we also are the fragrance of Christ to everyone, the lost and the saved. We're the fragrance to all. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are saved, being saved, it is the power of God. They think, oh, it's superstition, full of contradictions. You know, that's not true. And we know it's the power of God. And we know in Scripture that says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So if you're talking to people and they say, well, I don't believe in the Bible. And most Christians, honestly, the vast majority say, well, I don't have anything else to say. I was going to quote some verses or read them. I'm out of ammunition. It's foolishness to take that position. If a person broke into your house and I happen to have a 357 pistol, Magnum pistol, and they broke in my house and I held it on them and I said, sir, you need to get out of this house right now. I'm going to shoot you. I've got a 357 Magnum pistol. And the robber standing there with his cat mask on or whatever, says, well, I don't believe in 357 Magnum pistols. You think I'm going to go, oh, shoot, now I'm disarmed. you know, lay the gun down. Okay, take whatever you want since you don't believe in it. No, 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 no. The pistol's a reality, and believe me, it works. And the Word of God is a reality, and it works. I was knocking on doors in Hollywood, and I knocked on a door, and there was a family there, kind of a rough family. They were all tatted up, really, really tatted up, like wallpaper tatted up. And the woman was there, and I knocked on the door, and she came to the door, the wife, and she had been a biker woman, a biker girl, or whatever. And so we're standing on the porch, and I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at Gardens Baptist Church, and I'm just knocking on doors, meeting the neighbors, and can I ask you a question? So I ask her the question, and then as I started to witness to her, I quoted the first verse, and when I quoted it, she said, well, I don't believe in the Bible. So I don't believe in heaven and hell, and I don't believe in that. And I said, well, it's interesting you say that because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. She said, well, I don't believe in the Word of God. Well, the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, correction, instruction in righteousness so we can be thoroughly furnished. Well, I don't believe in the Word of God. Jesus said that we don't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then she started crying. She broke into tears crying. And then I quoted a couple more verses. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to divide asunder between soul and spirit and bone and marrow. And she just broke into, she started squalling, and she said, I just need to get saved. And I wasn't even witnessing to her with salvation verses. The Word of God is powerful. Amen? And it's convicting. And we just need to unleash it. The aroma of Christ, the aroma of God's Word. And we need to share it. And we need to share it with everyone. And so we see in Scripture, in Luke chapter 2, verse 34, it says this, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed. So we see that Jesus, like we were talking about, he is for the rise of many and he is for the fall of many. And you and I need to just get at peace with that and recognize that. And we need to share Christ, whether it's pucker up or duck. Whether they want to hug us and kiss us or cuss us out. Whatever the case might be, we need to embrace that reality and recognize it. And I want to tell you from my personal experience, of course, I am 6'4", 330. I'm NFL size, more or less. Not as in good a shape, but I nearly always experience people either responding or at least being cordial, no thank you, and that sort of thing. And I found that with people that are active in witnessing, they experience the same thing. And so we see that there's this aspect of us being a sweet aroma for Christ, and then an aspect that we're to be this for everyone. And then we are the aroma of judgment to the lost in John 9:39. And Jesus said, for judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. We see this aspect of judgment. And then 1 Peter 2:7-8 says this, this precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected has become the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they're disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. And so we see this idea. And then next in our passage, we are the aroma of salvation to the saved. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Now, you and I are to be this aroma of salvation. So last night, I went back on the dock after we came back from eating dinner. And again, there were about seven or eight people spread out around the dock. And there was one family near me. It was the dad, 14-year-old daughter, and the 10-year-old son. And they looked like American Indians. I thought they were Native Americans. I've got Cherokee blood in me. I said, "Are y'all American Indians? Are you Native Americans?" And they said, "No, we're Mongolian." They were Mongols from Mongolia, this family. And I was expecting some name I couldn't pronounce, I wouldn't be able to remember. And I said, "What's your name, sir?" And he said, "Bill." Well, I can remember Bill. And the two kids asked the daughter, and she told me her name, the son. I don't remember their names. They were Mongolian names. But these people, if you picture them, look like American Indians. And I said, ages ago, millennia ago, everybody was on the same landmass together, y'all and the American Indians and so forth. And, you know, obviously, I mean, they look so similar. So anyway, so about that time, the son, the 10-year-old, a big chunky boy, his pole almost flew off of the dock. And of the sail catfish, and I happen to have one right here. Whenever I catch a bigger one, I cut the head off, and it's called the crucifix fish. And it's amazing. It looks like Christ on the cross. And what's interesting is they say inside it there's these gristly bones, and they say it's the dice. Can you hear that? That it's the dice they roll for Jesus' robes. And so, you know, in Scripture it says even the stones will cry out and proclaim Christ. So I said, you might want to keep that fish, cut the head off of it, and you might want to boil it and peel it out. And then you can actually have a keepsake to talk about. And they said, we are keeping this fish. They grabbed it, threw it in a bucket. And there's a picture, a larger picture. Does that not look like Christ on the cross? It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. And so I kind of registered that in with them, and then I fished a little while longer and I had to leave. So I walked up, "What's your name?" He said, "Bill." And I asked him the question and began to witness to him. Well, when I asked him the question, he answered, which I expected, that he and his family, being Mongolian, that they worshiped spirits of their ancestors, and, you know, they were into spiritism and some of those types of things, shamanism, and I knew that was coming. And so I said, "Can I share with you what the New Testament said?" And they said, "Absolutely," he did. And so I witnessed to him in front of his children with both of them sitting beside us. And Bill gave his heart and life to Christ. So I had a mission trip to Mongolia on the dock in Fort Pierce. Now, what's funny is I asked him, I said, "Do you have a Bible?" And he said, "No, I don't. I've never owned a Bible." And I said, well, I've got one in the car. Can I give it to you? Would you? Absolutely. And I said, I've got homework. You got to read the Gospel of John a chapter a day. Well, his little son got up off his chair and swung around. He said, can I read a chapter a day? And he said, he's the avid reader in the family. And I said, I think you should. And young lady, I pat her on the shoulder, you should read a chapter in John a day also. And then Bill, the dad, said, we all will. How exciting is that? Can I hear an amen? And the aroma of Christ and the other fishermen that were around there were listening, watching. And when I left, a couple of them thanked me. They thanked when I brought the Bible back to him. And I said, I've got a gospel tract that shares what I shared with you. And our church published it for me. I'll give you one of those. So I gave him one. And he said, I'll read it to people. So it's so exciting. Amen. And God wants us to be the aroma of Christ this year. If you don't share, if I had just walked off the dock and gone back to our room, or if I had not talked to the lady at breakfast and then found out Harry's name, and if I had not moved into that area, praying for her to catch the biggest fish, showing them the crucifix fish, the top fin cell cat. Those things brought the aroma and the fragrance of Christ on the dock in Fort Pierce. And so we see in Scripture that this aroma is to be shared with the lost and is to be shared with the saved. Then we see in our passage that we share God's word with sincerity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, if I can find it, and I will. 1 Corinthians 5:8. Let us therefore celebrate the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And God wants us to be sharing Christ, sharing the Word of God genuinely, out of our love for Him and love for people and love for His Word. And then we see also, we share God's word through him. It's interesting that witnessing to Bill, the Mongolian man and his family, when he prayed to receive Christ and I came back and handed him the Bible, I just almost broke into tears crying because I sensed the presence of Christ just cover us. So I hugged the three of them and prayed for God to protect them, anoint them, surround them by his spirit and live through them. And you could just sense the atmospheric presence of Christ. And to be honest, I didn't sense him out there any other time but then. And he wants us to recognize that when we share Christ, we're to share through him, through his power, through his spirit. It's not how much you know. It's not how intellectual you are. It's not if you're a great apologist that can defend the faith. It's really, are you just willing to allow Jesus to use you as a conduit? Are you allowing Jesus to use you like a cell phone and for him to speak through you and move through you? And our passage shares that very idea in verse 17. For we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. And that's our final point, is that you and I share God's word with God's supervision. That God is watching. He's attending. I mean, I believe with all my heart, the experiences I've had in the last couple of days at that hotel, that it was under the supervision of God. I believe that God brought Harry to the elevator. I mean, why weren't they still eating breakfast when I was to get on? Or why weren't they out on the dock fishing? They were going to fish till noon before they left. And so I just want to encourage y'all this year, let this be the most exciting year of your life. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how many aches and pains you have. I've got to say, I've gotten more empathetic as I get older, especially when we stand. I believe empathetically, if I'm listening to God's Spirit, that some of you, while you're standing, singing all those songs and hymns and praise courses, I think you're thinking in your heart, why are we having to stand so long? I want to sit down and nobody else is sitting down, you know, because I'm hurting. My ankle's hurting, my foot's hurting, my knee's hurting, my hip or whatever. And God, you know, he wants us to divert our attention to him. But as I get older, I'm standing there thinking, I want to sit down sometimes also. But God says he's supervising us. He's watching us. And he wants us to lift that sweet aroma up to him this year. Amen? Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your presence here. And we thank you, dear God, for the sweet aroma of your Son, the Lord Jesus. And I ask you, dear God, to speak to hearts today and convict us all to represent this year, this new year that's on us. That, dear God, we will introduce you with our testimonies, with quoting a verse, share a praise, a worship, an acknowledgement of you. And dear God, that you would speak to hearts this year in a supernatural way. And we just want to tell you we love you and praise you today. And thank you for your presence here. Thank you for our faithful people. Be with all of our church family as they're traveling with family, friends, and as they're on the road and flights. And we just ask you to bring them all back safely. And Father, we just want to tell you we love you and praise you. Thank you for the opportunity today to meet and worship you. I want to ask you to speak to hearts and let your fragrance fill the nostrils of anyone here that doesn't know you, that's not breathing your Son Jesus. And I ask you, Lord, to speak to their heart, convict their heart, that they might say, oh, Lord, come in, take over, forgive me, cleanse me. Fill my lungs with your presence. Fill my mouth and life with your aroma. And we just want to tell you we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. And for you to know, we have never overspent our receipts. And I want to encourage y'all to be obedient to Christ in your tithes, offerings, and your giving to the Lord. Acknowledge him because he definitely takes care of us. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, Jim. Bless your heart. You're dismissed.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is John Demery, and I serve the First Baptist Church of Stewart through our outreach ministries. Our outreach ministry is about saving lives for eternity. It's also our way of getting involved with people outside the walls of our church. Some examples of some of our ministries are, one, the Feast of Plenty, which at Thanksgiving we serve our community with free Thanksgiving meals. And at Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Jesus through a musical performed by our choir, and it's also free and open to the community. At Easter time, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus by serving our community with food and games and fellowship, and of course, the Word of God. We are currently raising money for an indoor athletic facility, which will serve our church and our school and our entire community. And then throughout the year, we participate in other activities such as golf and fishing and hunting and women's and men's Bible studies. We also offer a program for young mothers called MOPS. The goals of our ministry is, of course, to reach people to come to the love of Jesus and to encourage them to join the family of God. And we ask you, won't you come and meet our family?
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and high school dual enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
My name is Tom Snipes, and I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Stewart. I am the Life Group Bible Study teacher for the senior adults. I've attended Bible study class all my life and have learned a lot about the Bible, but there's still a lot more I need to learn. I've heard some people say that the Bible is easy to understand. I'm not sure I agree with that because I find a lot in the Bible that I don't understand. That is why life group Bible studies are so important. We all need to read and understand the Bible, and how can we understand it if we don't study it? As a teacher, I have to study hard if I'm going to effectively teach those in my class. Each Sunday, we study topics with life application and have question and answer time for discussion. As Christians, we need to grow spiritually, and the way we do that is to spend time studying the Scriptures. We enjoy studying the Bible with each other, and Sunday morning life group Bible study is a valuable way to learn more about the Bible. Pastor Darrell asked me about 17 years ago if I would consider leading the senior adult life group class. I told him I would pray about it. I did pray about it, and God impressed upon me that I needed to say yes. In these 17 years, I have learned so much and have been blessed to lead this life group for the glory of God. I want to invite you to come and be a part of our life group Bible studies, beginning at 9 o'clock each Sunday morning. We also have life group studies for all ages. I do hope you will consider checking us out and experiencing our love for you and Jesus. I look forward to meeting you and making some new friends.
Reborn Youth Ministry is for students in 6th through 12th grade. We invite students each Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. to get up, get out, and get moving. Students will hear high-energy Christian music and messages straight from God's Word that they can apply to their lives, relevant to issues they face each day. Friendships are formed through team-building games, sports, art, and service projects, and special events throughout the month. If you or a teen you know is looking for a Christ-centered, safe, and friendly environment, please check us out. On Sunday mornings, we offer a life group for our students at 9 a.m. and invite them to join our worship service right afterwards.
Hello, my name is Colleen Highstone. Our church is a family, a fellowship, and a body of believers. We study God's Word together, we worship together, pray together, serve together, rejoice together, and support each other. If I had to use only one word to describe our church, it would be loving. I count myself blessed to be a member of this church. See the faithfulness of our church family in supporting our many church ministries, which includes this weekly radio broadcast. As the Bible says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our church motto is connecting people to Jesus and one another with love. Our church members live that out every day. If there's any way we can serve you or your family, don't hesitate to give us a call. We'd love to meet you and invite you to join us on Sunday mornings as we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
So you're pregnant and suddenly your whole life changed. You want to be joyful, but you're also afraid and anxious. How do you deal with this? Where do you go for help? CareNet Pregnancy Services of the Treasure Coast is here for you. We give compassionate counsel, helpful education and referrals so that you can make the best decision. There is no charge for our confidential services, and we will ensure that you enjoy security and strong support from the CareNet family. Reach out to us today at 772-828-3168.
Dr. Michael Youssef.
To follow Jesus means that you are willing to abandon yourself to Him. To follow Jesus means that you are willing to sacrifice what is near and dear. Sometimes that's your strong opinion. Sometimes that means that you're going to sacrifice your stubborn will that's standing in the way of following Jesus.
Learn more on Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef.
9:30 a.m. and p.m. daily on WCNO.